With all that is going on in Washington, it can be difficult to remember that there is activity going on in state capitals as well. The Oregon legislature meets for its long sessions in odd-numbered years like this one. This is a year for heavy lifting because the legislature makes two-year budgets in the odd-numbered years. The task is that much harder this time around because the mismatch between money available and the money needed for current programs is more than $1.5 billion, as in the budget starts more than $1.5 billion in the hole, potentially. Chris Lehman covers the legislature for JPR and other public radio stations. He joins us by phone to talk over some of the issues that have arisen so far and will likely come along down the road. Chris, good to have you back on The Exchange.
It's great to be here, Jeffrey.
So let's talk about the budgetary process. It seems like this is the point in the session when all has been said and done. There have been hearings around portions of the state, and including in a couple of the cities that we serve. But it seems like everybody's kind of hanging out now waiting for the revenue forecast. Is that pretty much what's happening?
Yeah, that's a large part of it. The next revenue forecast comes along in mid-May, and those are the final numbers that lawmakers will get. In terms of expected state revenue under current law that they'll have to create their two-year budget that starts July 1st. Now, of course, there are other things that could impact that budget, namely if lawmakers agree to raise revenue in some way. So they're kind of waiting for the revenue forecast, as you said, and waiting to see if some big deal materializes in the meantime.
Let's talk about the deal then, because there is some activity going on away from the Capitol that could potentially result in at least a proposal being introduced this session. Who's involved with the potential deal making?
Well, what we've been told is that the conversations are underway sort of on two different scenes. One is outside the Capitol between lobbyists for like public employee unions and left-leaning groups like that, and lobbyists for corporate interests. There are several large business groups that traditionally represent Oregon businesses, and they're sitting down to try to come up with something that they might find reasonable. Now, those union groups, you might recall, were behind the failed initiative, Measure 97, last fall, which would have raised corporate taxes on some corporations by quite a lot of money and other corporations by nothing at all. So there's some talk of maybe coming up with a compromise that sort of spreads the pain around a little bit more broadly but doesn't raise those taxes quite as high. Now, there are conversations, we're told, underway between Democrats and Republicans here in the Capitol as well. So ultimately, those two conversations will probably be molded or melded together in some way, and a deal could be floated publicly, or, you know, it could all fall apart and nothing happens.
The meetings that are taking place between unions and business leaders, do we have really any idea where they're going on, how often they're going on, or who's involved?
You know, that's a great question. I don't think that one's really been pushed too hard by the media. And, I mean, partly because there's just so much other things going on here at the Capitol that spending time trying to track down meetings that may or may not be happening probably aren't on the highest, you know, part of our agenda right now. That being said, it is worth noting that they're crafting a proposal that could be a significant shift in Oregon policy, and they're doing so behind closed doors outside the public eye. Now, that being said, anything they come up with will then ultimately have public hearings and go through the public legislative process. So, you know, we will get a chance to look at it and examine it before it gets voted on.
So in this sort of budgetary waiting period, what is the major business going on day to day in Salem?
Well, this is the time of a legislative session when policy proposals get their day. There's kind of some internal session deadlines for policy proposals to move, and we haven't gotten those deadlines yet. They start hitting in April. So you see a lot of suggestions about how state law could change as it relates to, you know, agriculture or housing or transportation or you know, various economic proposals that aren't taxes. And I mean, there's just so many different things. There's a vote today on the Senate floor about keeping people's information private if you've purchased recreational marijuana. That's sort of with an eye towards possible changes on the federal level. So there's 20 or more policy type committees that meet, and they're all quite busy right now. Everybody's got something going on, you might say.
Okay. Chris Lehman's a Salem correspondent. He reports for JPR and other stations on public radio around the Northwest. You can join us on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Back to the budgetary stuff for just a moment. I know this is far from Salem, but you know, Congress certainly hogs a number of headlines. But with the health care bill and a vote coming probably Thursday of this week, I wonder how much discussion there is in the Oregon Capitol of what that bill would do to Oregon, which has expanded Medicaid greatly, and what that might do to damage Oregon's budget further if it passes.
Certainly, that is a huge topic of discussion. I mean, to a certain extent, there's nothing anybody here in the building can do about it other than lobby, and Governor Brown has promised to kind of make her voice known in Washington, D.C. as these discussions are underway there. It is something that Oregon lawmakers have to keep an eye on because a large part of that budget shortfall that you mentioned has to do with Medicaid funding, the Oregon Health Plan, and the expansion that was made a few years ago. And federal assistance for for funding that expansion is on its way out, and depending on what the Republican-led Congress does, that may disappear entirely in a few years. So there is talk of maybe the legislature will have to come back later in the year in special session to kind of react to whatever Congress does, because there's maybe a vote this week, but that's certainly not the end of the story as far as the healthcare discussion on the national level goes. It could be months and months before we know what happens in D.C.
So just to focus on the budget numbers that we have at the moment, I've been saying roughly $1.5 billion. It's really $1.6 billion, I think, is the official shortfall at the moment. I mean, are you getting a sense that one way or the other, it's likely that tuition will rise and that teachers will be laid off in Oregon?
Yeah, I think that's what the budget managers in the legislature have been warning of. I mean, there's no, as they're very fond of saying, there's no printing press when it comes to money in Salem. So they'll have to raise taxes to bridge that shortfall, or they'll have to cut services, or they'll do some combination of that. Certainly there will be ways that a budget shortfall is felt by people in Oregon, whether it's public school students or college students or people who rely on human services like assistance to homebound people, disabilities, elderly. These are all real cuts that could happen as a result of this shortfall.
When we talk about revenue in Salem, though, it's a slightly different situation from what you get in Washington, D.C. It's not quite as much power and angst brought to either side of the argument. And there is a discussion at the moment about limiting the mortgage interest deduction for homeowners in the state of Oregon, which would particularly affect people at the higher end of the earning scale and people with second and vacation homes. And where in the process does that piece of legislation stand at the moment?
Well, that's certainly a topic that they're debating right now, because it's one of those things where if you say the mortgage interest deduction, I think the first reaction a lot of people have is, don't you dare touch that. But the point that the people making that proposal are making is that it sort of disproportionately helps people with upper incomes, because if you can buy a $1 million home, of course, you potentially could take advantage of a larger deduction on your mortgage interest than somebody who's renting a one-bedroom apartment for $800 a month or whatever. So it's something that does help out people in the upper income level. It's also important to point out that they're not talking about, because of course they can't touch the federal mortgage interest deduction. So when you do your taxes, that sort of shows up in your federal form first, and then there's ways that transfers over to your state form depending on how you do your taxes. So they're only talking about the state level. They're talking about means testing it for a lot of people, a lot of middle-income households. Under the current proposal, there wouldn't actually be any difference. All that being said, if they raise any additional revenue from this under the current proposal, it wouldn't actually go towards closing that $1.6 billion budget shortfall. The money would go to a special housing fund to help people, low-income people get housing. So it's not specifically part of the budget discussion.
Okay, so not meant as a revenue enhancer.
Exactly.
In that sense. Chris Lehman's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's our Salem correspondent here at JPR. Let's talk about transportation. This was a big issue in the long session 2 years ago that ended up not going anywhere because of some hurt feelings on both sides of the aisle. What are the transportation needs perceived, and what are the odds of getting a package out of this session?
Well, the transportation needs are fairly obvious if you drive around the state, particularly in the Portland area where there's a lot of congestion, but also in rural parts of the state. There are bridges out along Highway 101 on the Oregon coast that would instantly collapse into a pile of rubble if there was a very strong Cascadia subduction zone earthquake, or they'd be consumed by a tsunami. There are, you know, Highway 97, which runs up in north and south through central Oregon, is congested. It's often used as an alternate route by truckers trying to avoid traffic. That's under discussion for possible expansion in places where it's currently just two lanes. You can be sure if they do come up with a transportation package, there will be something for every legislative district in the entire state. It's funny how that works, whether that's in the actual bill or whether that sort of, you know, ODOT kind of divvies up the money later on. But you can be sure about that. That being said, it's how you pay for it, what you should pay for beyond just simply roads and bridges, because the gas tax, for instance, in Oregon, the state gas tax, can only be used for roads and bridges, but there's quite a lot of demand for mass transit funding and things like that. So you'd have to come up with a revenue source outside of the gas tax to pay for expansion to mass transit.
And it was held up 2 years ago by the Republicans refusing to deal with the Democrats if the Clean Fuels Bill stayed on the books, which it did. It was renewed 2 years ago. Is that an issue again? I mean, it's not up for renewal this time, but the Republicans appear a little more disposed to work on a transportation package?
Well, they do, and you're correct. It's not up for renewal, but, of course, it's a current state law, so it could be, you know, clawed back and adjusted and you know, in some way. So it's definitely part of the conversation. It's fair game if they want to go in and touch that bill. That being said, I think there's even more of a demand from, like, the state's business community, from local cities and counties around the state saying, hey, guys, you know, don't let politics get in the way of taking care of our state's infrastructure. So there are some Republicans who have publicly said, hey, unless we adjust clean fuels, you're not going to get my vote. There are other Republicans saying, you know what, if we work on this in some way, if we kind of, they talk about cost containment and, you know, making sure ODOT is spending the money properly and so forth, you know, they want there to be some acknowledgement of their concerns that this isn't just going to be money that is wasted. Obviously, you want that for any taxpayer money. But I think there is that discussion. Now, Democrats do control both chambers of the legislature and the governor's office, but any kind of a revenue increase needs a three-fifths vote. So that's why we're talking about Republican support, because Democrats need a small handful of votes from Republicans. But really, from a public standpoint, a political standpoint, they need a lot of buy-in from Republicans so it doesn't get referred to the ballot and overturned that way.
Okay, a lot of work left to do, obviously, this legislative session, and a lot of different things to pay attention to, the budget being the largest among them. Chris Lehman is our Salem correspondent. Chris, always good to talk to you.
Thanks. Great to be here.
All right, take it easy.